And but as I have been preaching and studying and reading the Great Awakenings, I think what has happened to us, because you and I all agree, the modern way of doing things ain't getting the job done. Amen. But what I think is happening, we've been trying to revive when all we're doing is putting new makeup on a bunch of dead corpses. Amen. I mean, we've painted the ceilings black. We've put in black lights in the bathrooms, and these preachers say you gotta set the mood. I tell you what gets my mood set is when the Holy One of Heaven comes down in the midst. Then the mood is set. So tonight I believe that while we that are truly saved by the good grace of God need to heed the Word of God by repenting and returning and relying on the God of Heaven, we need to be mindful instead of trying to continually maintain what is in the pew. I think we need to go back to the old-fashioned gospel. I come across this. All of us have preached out of verse 16, and some of you may already preach this. I don't know, but if you have, I didn't steal it from you because I ain't never preached it. But I want to preach on this subject. I am ready to preach the gospel. You say, well, Brother Allen, that's been preached to death. Well, let's wake it up. Amen. You see, there are people that are claiming to be saved in our generation. And y'all know who I am. I believe if God saves you, He can keep you. If God saves you. Emphasis on the if. But I believe we've got in our churches today a mentality that I can't find in the Word of God where it comes from a saved man's thoughts. What do you mean, Brother Allen? You see, I personally believe a saved man will want to pray. I personally believe a saved man will want to go to church. I personally believe that the Word of God teaches that a saved man will want to serve the one that saved him. Amen. But we've got the mentality, it don't matter what you do. It don't matter how you do, long as you believe. Can I go ahead and knock that in the head right now? The Bible said the devil believe and tremble. So I believe what has happened to us, as Brother Doyle was teaching the other night, or preaching to us the other night, I believe we have got so fleshly orientated. We've brought in every kind of program that you can imagine that we have watered the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ down to what we're getting is a bunch of folks feeling good, but they're not saved. Amen. And I'm going somewhere. Let me get past the introduction. It takes the gospel to save a man. Amen. And can I tell you something else? That same gospel will revive a man. Now wait a minute, Brother Allen. What do you mean by that? Let me tell you what happens to me when I get to running around and things ain't just feeling just right in my spirit, and I'm running around thinking I'm drifting from God. You know what I do? I run back to a little cinder block church on a biobank in Jones, Louisiana, back to May the 18th of 1980, and I get to thinking about the day that I heard that voice. I came to that voice, and He came into my heart and my life, and it ain't but just a few minutes. I'm telling you, I begin to be revived. The gospel has power. I want to look at it tonight this way. Paul said, I'm ready to preach. Please don't take offense to this unless the shoe fits. I'm afraid we got a lot of men getting in the pulpit ain't ready. But boy, they can tell us what's wrong in the pew. What's getting quiet? I told you I'd rather please him than please you. Paul said, I'm ready. What made him ready? If you'll go back over to Acts 8 and 9, it won't take me long in the message, so y'all hang with me. Believe me, I've wrestled with this. We find him there with clothes laid at his feet from a deacon named Stephen. Hey, you want to be a good deacon? Just get full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen had preached and they had got mad at him. They began to gnash on him with their teeth. Saul was standing there, the Apostle Paul that I'm going to preach to you about in a minute. He's standing there consenting to his death. And he heard when Stephen began to call him stiff-necked and uncircumcised. But he also heard when Stephen said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, and I see the glory of God. And then he watched as Stephen was stoned, and as he was going down, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And Paul, talking about what made him ready now, he gathered him up some letters, started down to Damascus. But on the road to Damascus, he saw a light. Matter of fact, he told a king one time, at noonday, O king, I saw a light. Hey, a light like none I'd never... Hey, how many remember the day that you saw the light? He said, and I heard a voice. I asked who it was. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he asked this question, what will you have me to do? What did that? The gospel. Are you with me? The gospel. I don't know where you're going, Brother Allen. When he left there, he went down to the street called Straight. There he got his vision. There he got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going somewhere. I'm just waiting on God to get us out of this introduction. We'll have some sailing going on. But I'm humbled because what I'm going to preach to you, even when I read it in the Word of God, still tears my heart up because of what he did for me. And then the Bible said straightway he preached the gospel. Can I say to you, we need some straightway preaching today. Some straightway preaching. He was ready in verse 15 to preach. Acts 21:13. He was ready to perish. The gospel will do that. It says this, for I'm ready not to be bound only, but to also die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you again, are you ready? But not only that, 2 Timothy 4:6, one of my favorite passages, he is ready to part. Oh, it was Paul that said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It was Paul that said, hey, I'd rather go, but it's expedient that I stay. But we come to there and he said these words once again. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. What made him ready? I said again, the gospel. Can I let you know something? There's only one true gospel. There's only one gospel, Brother Jason, that has good news with it. There's only one gospel that God himself delivered unto man. Galatians 1:8, the apostle said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. May I say to you, we've allowed things to come into our churches today. We've allowed things behind our pulpit, hey, for the sake of a crowd, for the sake of a good time, and we've left off this gospel that can do the work that God intended for it to do. I don't understand. Well, number one, let me give you a few scriptures and then we're going to preach. This gospel is pure. Hebrews 7:25 and 26. Wherefore he is able, emphasis on the he, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest, listen to it, for such a high priest done this, became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. We're starting to talk about the gospel. It's pure. Hebrews 2:10, this gospel is perfect. For it became him. Notice we had a he. Now we've got a him. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Y'all got to keep loving me. This gospel's permanent. Revelation 14:6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. We heard a little bit about that today from Brother Clark. I'm glad that this gospel made it to me as an 18-year-old boy. I'm fixing to preach. May I go ahead and say this? This gospel is the only gospel that the God of heaven recognizes. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now, if Brother Derek was preaching this, he'd say 3 points and I'm done. And I don't have subpoints. Verse 1 through 4. I want to give you what God has given me. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his holy prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. First thing I want to tell you, the content of the gospel is what I want to talk about. Some say, well, all you got to do is believe. They've left out part of the content. Some say, well, all you got to do is be baptized. They've left out part of the content. Some say, well, if you'll just go to church, give your tithes, tell a few people about Jesus, they've left out the content. Will this generation ever learn? It ain't about me and you and what we can do. It's all about him and what he has done. The content of the gospel. The word personified. Now, you don't misunderstand me when I start here, but we got to get to the gospel. We find him prophesied from the very first book of our Bible. We see him in types and shadows and figures, but now the gospel brings in the truth. Are you with me? And may I say to you, and it don't matter to me what you believe before and after. I'm telling you, without Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. But up until Christ, all we had was types, shadows, and figures. And in all that the earthly priest could do was roll our sins back a year at a time. But one day, the Bible said the beginning of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ came one down by a riverbank preaching. Have you ever wondered why it said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost? Because the gospel began with preaching. And you hear me tonight. I love good singing. They set the stage for good preaching. And y'all, please don't take offense to this. I tell my daughter the same thing. But he didn't save singing. Amen. Hey, now don't get me wrong, where good preaching's being preached, there's times God will get into singing and the preacher will have to do like someone was preaching yesterday, I believe it was this morning, the preacher will just have to get out of the way and God have his way. But I'm telling you, somewhere down the line, the gospel must be preached. You can't get around it. John come preaching. Now, if John walked in to the modern day churches, he'd get run off on his first point. Repent. Show me meat, fruits of repentance. Listen to me. John came preaching. Hey, when he got to preaching and he got so close to it, Brother David, they said, you must be him. He said, oh no, I'm not him. I must decrease and he must increase. I indeed baptize you with water, but there's one coming down the road who'll baptize you not many days hence with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. I'm talking about the content of the gospel. Amen. John did have the privilege. I've had the privilege to baptize my kids. What an honor. But can you imagine John when Jesus come up straightway out of the water and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, and God began to speak, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. What a day. Now that's the beginning of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just put it plain where I can move on or I'm going to get hung up. John chapter 1. I may quote it all. If I can't, y'all jump in there, preacher, and help me. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And then it goes talking about the light. That same light that Paul saw on the road to Damascus that came into the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. But it goes on down to about verse 14 and says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Where I'm going with this, the Bible says in 17 John 1 that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. All we had was pictures, figures of the true. But the Bible said there was none of those things that could bring us all the way in. So embellished in the content of the gospel, we find words like this. The law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The content. I don't have time to preach all of this, but may I say to you, we see the picture before the world began as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But now we see him as the Holy Ghost of God overshadows a virgin woman and plants the seed of God in her womb. Hey, I don't know how you believe it, but I believe she was a virgin when she conceived, and I believe she was a virgin when Jesus came forth. That's what Isaiah said, that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a man-child. And then we see him. I challenge you. I know Hollywood has tried to do it. I even know that some of the liberals have tried to do it, and they've had to change the word to try to get the job done. But I challenge you, find one fault in him. He was sinless, holy, harmless, separate from sin, tempted at all points, yet without sin. I'm talking about the gospel. And this same Jesus, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The content of the gospel. You see, he took your sin and my sin, and I'll back up and get a little more of that. I'm trying to get out of the first point in this content, but he took your sin, my sin, every sin that's ever been committed in this world. He nailed it to the tree. And when he nailed it to the tree, he paid the price that God would be satisfied. I don't understand. Brother Allen, well, he didn't just die, but he rose. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. When he rose with all power in heaven and in earth. And he is seated at the right hand of God. Boy, I didn't have this thought in there, but I'm just going to tell you. And I love the song. We sing it. But it ain't going to depend on you or me, him being king. Amen. Hello? Yeah. Oh, I can't wait to crown. You better crown him the king of your heart right now. Because what you do with him ain't going to change. Oh, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with thee before the world was. Son, I've both glorified it and will glorify it again. You hear me? He's not coming to be crowned king. He's coming, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
You're right.
He is king before he ever come here. He laid down his crown and his robe to get to us and put on flesh. But even then he is born king of the Jews. I'm telling you, he rules and reigns right now in the corridors of heaven. Hey, I done heard it over and over. I ain't worried about Obama. I ain't worried about Donald Trump. Amen. The only good thing I can say right now is this. He does know how to take things out of bankruptcy and get them going again. But I'm not depending on man. And I'm not going to jump on the subject again. If we, as God's people, will repent and return and rely on God, he'll turn this thing so fast around the politicians will wonder what happened. I got to get back on the content. You see, the content of the gospel is not a formula. Amen? The content is not something that man has decided this is the way it is. The content of the gospel is the person of the gospel. Hebrews 1:3 says these words, who being the brightness, there's that light, of his glory. Now watch your Bible. And the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What are you saying, Brother Allen? In that one scripture, now I did steal this message out of my great-great-grandpa's Bible. I'm having a moment. My granny and Paul were saved out of that old King James. I'm talking about the covers falling off of it.
Yeah.
And it was rebound when he handed it down to his son. My mama and daddy were saved out of Grandpa's old Bible. Are you hearing me? His son got it and preached the last revival he ever preached. And my brother got saved out of it. How many would agree with me? There's power in the Word.
Absolutely.
And then I inherited it. And you know how you do. Brother Jason, if I had your Bible, I'd look through there, see how many messages I could steal out of it. The rest of you preachers would too. But I was flipping over there. And I come by there. And I wrote these down because I wanted you to hear what somebody back in the 1920s was a preaching. He had underlined all by himself. I got excited. He said, the image of God, but he added a word in there in our Bible, the express image. And I want to use this. This was in that kind of in that introduction. You see, you and I are being conformed to the image of his dear son. Amen. But let me ask you a question. Who do they see when they look at you? We're talking about the content of the gospel. The express image is this. Show us the Father and it will suffice. He said, have I been so long with you? When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The express image. God had a purpose. I know he come to seek and to save that which was lost. But all we had was type, shadows, and figure. God wanted us to see who he was. And in this passage, we see his person. Everything you find in Jesus Christ, you will find in the triune God. One is on the same plane as the other. But all, watch it now, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Father said, this is my son, hear him. On the Mount of Transfiguration. He said the Holy Ghost. See, golly, Brother Mike, don't let me preach. My wife got on to me last time I was on TV. Said I preached too long. We have got so scared of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't care if you jump pews. I don't care if you run laps. I don't care if you swing from the chandeliers, the Word of God. I don't care how you see it. The Bible said that ye shall be witnesses after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall receive power. We're so scared of the Holy Ghost, ain't no way we filled with it. But Jesus said, he'll testify of me. Why will he testify of you? Because I'm the content of the gospel. Here's Grandpa's notes. See his person. see His passion, see His power, see His pardon, see His position, and see His promise. All out of that one little, all by Himself. So what are you saying, Brother Allen? If you preach the gospel, or say you're preaching the gospel, and you leave out Christ, you've not preached the gospel. Amen. Number two, not only does the gospel have content, but the gospel is convincing. Brother Jerry, nobody had to beg me down an altar when I heard the gospel. Look at verse 16 through 20. It won't take me as long on these last ones. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. So if the content is Jesus Christ, He's the power behind the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So now we see the word powerful. Hebrews 4:12. Most of us can quote it, but I didn't want to miss one word of it tonight. For the word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He reads our heart and reads our mind. That's what the gospel does. How many remember when you walked into that service one day and God ain't nowhere on your mind, but some good, dear old godly preacher began to preach about Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, and all of a sudden, something began to stir in your heart and your soul. Because you see, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And when the Spirit, or when the gospel is preached, the true gospel, where He's being glorified, where He's being exalted, then the Holy Ghost gets on it. It's anointed. John 16:8 says, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment to come. And we, at that moment in time, I'm talking about what the content of the gospel does. The one thing it does is it ushers in the Spirit of God on the Word of God. And when we're sitting there, it gets in our heart and in our mind and convinces us what the Word of God says. I'm glad it does. You say, well, does everybody hear? Well, the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. I know it appeared to me. Here's what it does. It takes that old law that's written in stone, and it brings it up. And we're alive. Boy, we're doing good. But when we see the law, we start to run down the law. You know what? We find out, ooh, I broke that one. Ooh, I didn't keep that one. And it slays us. We die and become separated from God at that moment. Oh, we dig into that law. We try to find a sacrifice that'll suffice, but it won't. But then it brings us back to the content. Y'all ain't enjoying this like me. And we see where the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world had already conquered death, hell, and the grave and paid the penalty for our sin.
Yes.
Where first by one man sin of the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then in other words, we're standing there. And we've been brought up before the judge of the universe. And when he looks at us, what do you have to say? I'm guilty. I'm guilty. What's your defense? I have none. But I'm appointed one. Because you see, heaven's court only has one. But did you know you can refuse to have representation? And at that moment, do you know what we begin to see? We begin to see beyond Calvary. We begin to see beyond the earthly priest that was under the law. We even begin to see beyond an empty tomb, Brother David. And you know what we see? We see one ascending and descending. Ascending and descending. What's he doing? He's taking his own blood. And he walks in where? Not over yonder in Jerusalem. He walks into the very throne room of God. There is a pot. And he takes blood, not of goats, not of lambs, not of heifers, but he takes his whole blood, because the way into the Holy of Holies had not yet been made. But he walks in there. All he had ever smelled was that come off of the old. But this day. God said, satisfy. Satisfy. He shall see the travail of his own soul and shall be satisfied. Content of the gospel. And we begin to see that. You know what happens to us? We begin to tremble. Because then, you hear me. I told God when I was an 18-year-old, God, I'm not worthy. You know what it caused me to do? Hey, the people's leaving out repentance. That's how I know the gospel's watered down and the content's not there. Nobody told me I had to repent.
Amen.
I was repenting. I didn't want what I had. I didn't want to go where I was going. I wanted what he had showed me and had to offer. And then he whispered, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I was convinced. I was convinced that I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. I was convinced I could not save myself. I was convinced there was not enough good I could do to get salvation. But I was convinced of a Savior. His person, His passion, His power, His pardon, and His position. And I turned to him. What are you saying, Brother Allen? At that moment that I saw all of that, I become convicted, condemned, and convinced all in one blow. Because we, as sinful men, when we're brought up by the gospel before a holy God, humility is automatic. If not, we'll take rebellion. As Brother Doyle preached to us, we become enemies of God. Last point, and I'm done. I think I'm all right. I see in this text changing. What do you mean changing? Cleansing. Look at verse 5, verse 6. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, if you stop right there, you'll say, well, that was for Paul. But read the next verse. Among whom are ye also the calling of Jesus Christ. Let's look at that cleansing, changing power for just a minute. So now we see the word purging. Now, I've heard everybody brag about not going to college. I barely made it out of high school. But I think I've got sense enough to know that that word purge means to wash thoroughly. To wash thoroughly. May I say to you, there's only one ingredient that can do that. For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish. You see, man's dirty. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, it says these words, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Proverbs 30:12, there's a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's only one ingredient. You see, we're dirty inside and out. This generation is dirty. You can't turn your TV on without filth. We've allowed that filth in our churches. Amen? Why is that? Because our heart's dirty. Because our head's dirty. Because our hands are dirty. We have the wrong emotions. You know why divorce rate's so high today? And I don't mean to touch on that subject, but because nobody knows what real love is anymore. I've lived long enough to know what real love is. I got some young married couples in here. Let me help you. Is when you've been married 30 years or more, okay, there's bags under the eyes.
Yeah.
But you look over there, and that woman has been beside you, walking with you. There's not a fleshly thing comes into that love. You'll turn your eyes to heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for sending her to me. My wife got up one morning. I hope she ain't watching. We was drinking our coffee. She said, my eyes is down to my cheek. My cheek is down to my breast. My breast is down to my waist. My waist is down to my knees. And my knees are down to my ankles. I took me a sip of coffee. I said, "You're still the most beautiful woman in the world to me."
Amen.
And I mean every word of it. Every word of it. What are you saying? The reason things are happening like are because our hearts. Who'd ever thought, God, I'm going to get in trouble. I thought I was going to make it without getting in trouble. That we would have men get behind the pulpit and stamp their approval on sodomy. Something wrong with the heart. Something wrong with the head. Let me tell you something else. We're filthy in our eyes. We're filthy in our ears. We're filthy in our feet. We need cleansing. There is a cleansing agent. Revelation 1:5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto," here's the content, "unto him that loved us and washed us," watch your Bible, "from our sins in his own blood." So here it is, and I'm going to get ready to close. We need cleansing. We're stinking, dirty, sorry, rebellious sinners. We deserve to die and go to hell. But God loves us. And He wants to cleanse us. And He will cleanse us from our sins. And when we see the content of the gospel and we realize how dirty we are and how bad we need cleansing, and we come to Him through repentance and faith, then we are not of them who draw back to perdition. Let me tell you something. If you come to an altar and all you did was say, "Oh God, if you'll save me, I won't drink no more," you didn't get saved. "God, if you'll save me, I'll quit this," you'll never do it. You've got to come to Him because of what you are. And you've got to quit wanting to be what you are before you can ever quit what you're doing. That's true repentance. That's the reason so many, the salvation they get lasts about 2 weeks. They've escaped the law. They've escaped mom and daddy's punishment. They've escaped something. But they hadn't escaped the hell that they'll face at the end of the road. Because they drew back. Hebrews says this. 10:39. "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." I refused, Brother Doyle, to get up that Sunday morning till I knew I was saved. God knew in my heart that I would serve Him. I want to talk about that change. When's the last time you saw one walk the aisle and saw a definite change? I'm going somewhere. I'm telling you, this gospel will change you. He'll change you. Inside and out. He'll change the way you think. He'll change the way you talk. He'll change the way you look. I'm talking about through the eyes and outwardly. Jesus cast that demon out. First thing He did was put clothes on him. He'll change the way you walk. And He'll change. Don't nobody have to tell me I need to go to church. I long to go there. Yeah. Brother Jason, I appreciate that message. Nobody has to tell me to lift my hands. Nobody has to tell me to shout. Nobody has to tell me any of that. And Brother Jason told you right. The Spirit don't have to lead you into what the Word of God has already told you to do. That book is anointed by the Word of God. It changes us. I've seen it get old drunkards out of the bottom of the whiskey. My grandpa on my daddy's side got up drinking it, went to bed drinking it. Brother Lonnie, he'd go to the farm, and in his water jug was Jack Daniels. He was a drunk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
But as a 22-year-old boy, I took a little old church. Had 11 people. Seven of them got saved the first year. And my grandpa, my grandma was a praying woman. Boy, if I had time, I'd tell you the story of how grandma prayed. He said, Odie, that was grandma's name, we got to go over at that little church and help him out. He ain't got many over. He's still drinking. But I was ready to preach the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. Come on, brother. Come on.
Man, he wouldn't let that yard get, it wouldn't get 6 inches high. He was mowing it.
Yeah.
4 years before he died, God saved him. Took the whiskey away from
Hallelujah.
Him.
Hallelujah.
On his deathbed. They had a cath in him trying to save his life. Said, there's nothing we can do. If we take it out, he's going to bleed out. There's nothing we can do while we're in there. Me and my dad walked up. And I said, Grandpa, he looked up. He said, yeah. Daddy said, are you ready to go home? He said, yeah, I'm ready. He said, not back to Bastrop. He said, I know where you're talking about, son. I'm ready.
Yeah.
That's what the gospel can do. Now tonight, I'm closing this way. I'm going to ask them to get a song ready. I'm going to close this way right here. Now the reason I'm so strong on that change the gospel makes, now, I'm sorry, I just have to believe the Word of God is plain. The Bible says that you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. All of us will quote that. But what about what goes with it? A good tree cannot bear evil fruit. Did I say it right, preachers? Well, no, wait a minute, Brother Allen. I'm fixing to fix it for you. But Brother Allen, I mess up all the time. What do? If you've got a tree and you got a little limb out there and it's got a bad fruit on it, what do you do with it? Thank you. Doesn't God do that to us? Now, tonight, if you've not been saved by this gospel, if your mind about sin has not been changed, and Christ is not extremely exalted in your heart and mind, you need to come tonight and be saved. Now, saints of God, we need to admit something to God tonight. We've got dirt all over us. Amen. Oh, not me, Brother Allen. You just lied. That's why, Brother David, our churches are in the mess we're in. That's why pastors are throwing in the towels. That's why preachers are quitting. Because we done got bogged down with the filth of this world. You hadn't heard me one time tonight tell you that I'm perfect or that you're perfect. But I tell you this. You go work all day. You're going to either take a bath that night or you're going to take a bath that next morning. And I'm afraid we as God's children have quit taking baths. Washing. Read this and I'm closing. 1 John. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I can take a bath anytime I get ready. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I've had to go back to that fountain not to be saved. He's cleaned my inside. But I'm going to tell you every once in a while, Brother Doyle, a little dirt gets up here. I got to go wash it out. Once in a while, a little dirt gets right here and here and on my feet. And I have to go get it. But thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Let's stand.